I wanted to become not a monk, a capuchin. Yeah. Mm. And I was in this time, I considered myself as gay. His answer was to be blind and to be gay. That's too much for us. So that's why I thought it was the combination.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Priceless Podcast. I have a new guest, and I'm here in the Netherlands. This is the second time that I have the opportunity to record interviews face to face. Last year it was from Switzerland, this year it's from the Netherlands. We are at the European Forum Conference, and this podcast is made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. If you want to support this podcast, you can find ways how to do it in the podcast's description. So with me today is Lothar Linsen. He's from Germany, from Berlin, but I'm not gonna introduce or say a lot about him, although we know each other for quite some time now and we are good friends, and I'm thankful that he's part of this podcast. Welcome, Lothar, to the Priceless Podcast.
Hi.
Hauk. It's nice to have you here. So what I would like to hear is a little bit about your story. Maybe something... let's start this way. Say a few words about who is Lothar? Who are you?
Who is Lothar? Lothar... male, he, him. When I studied social work in my group, most of the students were women. Mm-hmm. And before I was, my first profession is massage therapist. Mm-hmm. And the people wanted always to get a massage from me. Mm-hmm. But they knew that I'm gay. And so, oh, Lothar, can you do that for me? So a little bit, please, please. And then one of them asked me, listen, yes, you are gay. But it's good because it's not dangerous for me. Mm. And I answered, okay, I know that I'm gay till this moment. Mm. Who will I be tomorrow or next moment? I don't know.
So you're scaring your clients off.
Yes. I want to say it's always difficult. So who is Lothar?
yeah, of course. But who is Lothar now, at this moment?
In this moment, he is sitting here in a very comfortable chair, in a very peaceful place. He's feeling a little bit, interesting. What's about this podcast? Should I say? Can I say? Feel like comfortable with English and so on. So this is Lothar now.
Thank you. So let's go a little bit to your story. You are gay and you're visually impaired. Tell us a bit about your background, how you came to accept yourself. Maybe let's start with this.
Oh, can I say again? Because you mentioned gay and visually impaired, this combination.
Yes.
It's always interesting because I wanted to become not a monk, a capuchin. Yeah. Mm. And I was in this time, I considered myself as gay. But I didn't talk so much about that because it was 25 years ago. So I didn't talk so much about that, but I asked them to become to come in the order, and so then they had a little problem. Okay, you are blind, can you live on your own? And we need to prove it. So I made a pre-postulate and always was good, and the people were fine with me, and all was okay. And then started the process to step in the order. And once our magister, how it calls, asked us all in similar talks, why I want to become a Capuchin monk. Okay, I told him about my story, about how I grew up as an almost blind person. And in this story, of course, I told also my story about my homosexuality and how I accept it and why I want to live in Christian religious community with all this stuff like celibate and so on. And his answer was to be blind and to be gay, that's too much for us. So that's why I thought it was the combination.
We can deal with one thing, but with two things.
So choose, please.
Be blind. Choose,
Be blind or be gay. And this time it was very sad. I chose not to live with them, but I'm jumping a little bit, but it's easier. Because a month ago, I read in a newspaper that the Franciscans, so the almost similar order like the Capuchin, had a new provincial minister, and he's openly gay. And I was very sad. I should be happy that it's possible and the people don't listen so much on the Vatican, but they act more like they are. But I was sad because the reason why I wanted to become a Capuchin or a Franciscan monk or how you want it, many of these reasons are still alive. I mean, I think we are beings who want to be together in once, but want to live a spiritual life. So all these things, they are alive in my soul today. But now it's for me too late to go to there. And I wish, okay, this should be 25 years ago. Yes. So that's what it was said.
How was it back then? You were rejected for two reasons, which has nothing to do with your choice, or it just has to do with something what you are.
Something what I am and something what see others in me. For them it is an barrier or an reason to say no or to,
Maybe it's not good to say what you are because it's not all you are. It's just first, and a part of you.
How do they know what I am?
Yes, exactly. Those are just
even
two things.
I don't know it always who I am.
Yeah. But the hard thing is that people define you through two things that are part of the whole Lota. And how was that for you?
And even these few things are very diverse too. So, well, okay, I like to tell stories.
We love stories.
After some days, I already had the decision to say okay, goodbye. I was in my bed at night, and I was sad about all what was happen, and then I don't know how started to pray, and then I touched my body and I thought, hey, all is good. So I made as I am in this way. I made so how I am, I'm wanted. Someone or God or how we call it. And this that even I touched my body, I touched all my body. And I thought, all is good, how it's written, and God has seen what he has done, and all was good. And this all is good. This was a very, very for me, a very important
thought or message.
Yeah, I opened it for me. For all is good. Sometimes I think I judge myself so much, or it's so common in our cultures to judge us self. So, yeah. But to understand really, all is good. Even these things which we are struggling with, or we are made, and I am made, and this is good.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for opening up, and I can see how deep this is going, and it's moving you, and it's still here, and what you were saying, it's still alive in there. So thank you.
It opens yesterday. We had this introducing ourselves session, and we talked about difficulties, or what is gay, to be homosexual, or LGBT, and Christian or believer, or so on. And so I understood this. This thought came back, and I see this. In this time it was very sad, but now it's a treasure. It's a really treasure to understand all is good. And I can grow all this good, and this can go and grow, and this can develop to good things for our societies, for our world, for the earth.
So looking back at everything, at the rejection you went through, how do you see it has formed you? Today, who you are?
I think about how or what formed me. Yeah, I think about what had formed me. Some words about my story. Yeah, that's I think the best thing. I grew up in former GDR, so in East Germany, and I was born in a village in the northeast. So near of the Polish border, in the Uckermark. It's lovely landscape, small villages and big fields and some lakes. And my mother, she worked in a school. She was a teacher, and she was secretary of the party, the SED, Socialist Party of Unity, or Unity, I don't know how it's in English. I grew up in this village, and I had to go to the boarding school for blind people. And this was near Berlin. So only in the holidays I could be at home. And then I went to the boarding school, which was in my younger years very hard. I didn't want to go. It was always with tears, and to leave home and to go by train to this school. And then I went on one side of the wall and my mother on the other side of the wall, and then came another door, and then she said through this door bye bye, but we couldn't. It was like we called it jail. Yeah. This boarding school. And then I lost my mother very early, when I was 8. I get my grandma, but I had a lot of lost in my youth than I'm thinking now. And this, to lose a lot, maybe this is one thing what formed me. Yes, to lose something and to win another thing, because after the lose, something is going on. So it was not the last. So something is changed. And maybe in this boarding school, I understood that I'm gay. And this was a very strange understanding, because, okay, we did like jokes about gay, so we didn't know really what it is gay, to be gay or schwul. Yeah. But we did so many jokes about that. And then little by little I understood, okay, it could be jokes about me. And I remember we had a history teacher. It was an old man, 60 something years. And he was in the World War II. He was a soldier. And he lost his vision in the war. And then he became a teacher of history. And in the beginning, he was in a party, in the Communist Party, but then they threw him out. And he was a Christian too. But he didn't talk about so much in school, but he was a very, very good teacher. And once he heard what we joked about gay people, he said, stop. And then, let me tell you what's about gay people. And he told us, so this is people who love the same sex, people, and nothing is wrong with that. It was in DDR time, it was not usual. Yeah. But he wasn't angry with us, but he explained what it is. Yeah. And I remember this was. And okay, and in this time, the history are so many lines, so you cannot tell about one line, forget about other lines. So, yes, so the other line is, I told you that I was in the boarding school and only in the holidays I could be at home. And with my mother lived together my grandma and my great-grandma. Mm. We four lived together in a two-room apartment, so it's quite cozy
and warm.
And warm, yeah. It really, for me, as a child, it was cozy and warm. Nothing wrong with that. And my great grandma, she was after the 80s in this time already, and she told me about the Bible stories, Moses, and she was a really grandma. She told stories, and so she grew my faith. She made me to think or to face to God or to be I don't know, be Christian or something like that. And so there was she said, okay, don't tell nobody about that, because never. Mm. So it was in myself. But in the boarding school, we had one girl from Iraq. Her parents from Iraq, they gave her to Germany, so she could go in a special school for blind people. Mm. And she lived with parents in Germany who were pastors. Mm. So she could in the school be more openly because of her parents.
You mean about her faith, or
she got like lessons in Christianity. So one woman from the evangelical church came to the boarding school, took her for a walk, and told her about it. So we all knew that she was a Christian. Mm. So, but okay, we talked, and I told her about my great-grandma and about how she taught me to pray. And then we started in the boarding school hiding services. So we, like children do it, so we did secret services, prayed together like kids. We didn't know it. We had there was a piano, and if some of us wanted to have a service, when we went to this piano, and ding dong ding, so
you had your church.
We
you
had made your church. Yeah, and it was in the Christmas time. I remember we danced on the together with Christmas songs, and so we were children, not so serious, but very serious. I don't know somehow I considered myself as gay. It was because I wanted to have a friend always, not a girlfriend. I didn't dream about girlfriends. So, and in the sixth, seventh class, so I wanted to have a friend.
A boyfriend.
Boyfriend, yes. And this was strange, and I didn't understand that, but it was like it was. And then in the TV, I have seen at home, we could see Western TV, and there was a show about how live gay people in West Berlin. And okay, it was much more open than here, but I understood, okay, it's about me. And then I had a word, and I understood, okay, this word gay, schwul, is the word we are making jokes about. Okay, so...
It is me.
Yeah, it is me. And but then I could integrate it very well in my faith. So, okay, I'm like I am. So it was not a problem in this time because my faith didn't depend on church. It was from my grandma. So and it was in our children's church, of course.
Yeah.
But this children's church didn't judge it. So yes. it wasn't a problem. It became only then a problem when I really started to go to church. And then these stories, sinful life, sexuality, and young people should be careful with that, and homosexuality is not in the right way, and so then there started to be a problem. Yeah. So the problem was not in me, but surrounding me. So community there wanted to be in, because on the other hand, of course, I need a community, like a Christian. I wanted to have a community, but the community I got was a homophobic community. So this part wasn't accepted. So. And I don't understand how, till now, I do not understand. In the beginning, I had no problem with that, but then later, why I had to deal then so long with these problems, I don't know. Because at first in my faith, there wasn't a problem. The problem told others to me. Why I struggled so long with it.
So what I understand, first you didn't struggle at all because you had your faith that was not connected to church. You had your friend that you had a church with, and in this church you were not condemned. Yeah. But then later, when you grew up and started going to church, then you realized it's a problem for the people you are with. And this affected you so much that it took you a long time to accept yourself.
Till now, in the end of the end, because of course I have found my way, my standing, my place, but whatever, this is my anger to the church, because you come like a young boy and wanted to find a good way to live, and this church destroyed a lot of things. For instance, till now I couldn't make a really good long-time relationship. So I guess for many of gay people it is a big problem to live for a long time together. And maybe it is because this inner homophobia or self-phobia, I don't know how to call it. And the seeds, in my case, are from the church.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to hear at one moment. You think, I'm great as I am, I'm okay as I am. And then you meet people who tell you, no, you're wrong, you're not enough, you're not what we expect you to be. And that's hard to accept.
And the story of Jesus, they tell you, okay, Jesus accepts you how you are, but...
Yeah, but not you. But everyone else, but not you.
Or if I, then please change.
So how old were you when you started going to church?
To the kid church?
No, the church that destroyed you, that discredited you as a person.
But not the whole church destroyed me. There's some of them. So some of them, I could get baptized when I was 15 or 16. And I had, in this time, I chose my, what's called Patentante in English?
My godmother.
Godmother, yeah, right. I could choose my I had to choose my godmother. I could be without, but I wanted to have one. And in this church, in the evangelical church in Königs Wusterhausen, there was an old lady. She was after the age, like my great grandma. And she was a very small, thin person. So, because I was almost blind, and they introduced her to me, or me to her. And so we sit in the service together. And she knew almost all church songs from the songbook. She knew it. She could sing without text with it. She knew it. And so I started to visit her. We had a Saturday friendship. So Saturday after school, I went to her house, and she teached me to. She wanted to drink coffee with me, and she teached me, explained me how to do it, and I cooked for us both coffee, and then we sit. She had a chair, and she was knitting things for children, or shawl, or sweaters. And she did her work. We drink coffee, and she told stories. Because she had a lot of stories. And with her, this was not a destroying church. Because, they didn't know that I feel gay. I didn't talk about these topics with her because it was in other areas. But she was born in the, now it's the Ukraine, and she had seen the October Revolution, and then the family had to flee. She had pox, and so she got blind, and a blind man. Then she was in Germany, then in a boarding house for blind people. Then came the war, then they wanted to burn all the blind people in the Auschwitz. And one very strong director saved them and said, only with me, and then they didn't it. But it was a very hard story she had in her life. And she was very poor. She got, even for GDR people, very, very less money. But she had such a big heart, and sharing heart, and a no judging heart, and a loving heart. And she didn't anything. We drink coffee and talk, but around her was a space. Around her was a space you could be. And mostly you don't need to do so much, but to create around yourself this space that people can be. And this was the good church.
Yeah. I can see why you chose her as your godmother.
And this is really, when I talk about this, it's also an understanding what I want, how I want to be. Oh, of course, I'm not her. So I'm Lothar, and Lothar's different, but and how can be church? It's not a press, it's sometimes not a question to be agree with something, but to accept.
Thank you. Like, I don't know what to say, because I really feel, I have to say, Lothar, you are that person where people can be. You know, I really can say that you are a person where people can just be around you. That's the Lothar I know. So if that's what you wanted, I think you did a very, very good job of becoming that person. I want you to know that. You're welcome. And thank you for sharing this. I don't know. You know when people say, should I take off my shoes? I feel like I'm standing on holy ground. You know, when people are sharing their souls, that's what I experience. And thank you so much. I'm so moved and touched by what you are saying. I would like to go a little bit into the story. It's not easy to be LGBT. And then you also shared with us how you were not just rejected because you're LGBT, but also because of your blindness. So how do you see this has affected you as a gay man being blind? How do you experience being accepted as a person with a disability in the LGBT community?
It was always a problem. Because you can see this eye.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of rejections because of this in the LGBT community. Mm. So even to date someone or so, it was, for me it was difficult.
Yeah.
There are all these dating platforms now, so
yeah.
for fast sex maybe. But if people are interested not in fast sex, but in getting to know new people, and maybe without sex at all, but
yeah.
To have a good time.
Yeah.
So maybe it's my theory about that. Maybe gay people, even in Western Europe, where it's so open and blah, blah, there's so many wounds and people are so hurt. Maybe it's not, don't see it now, but we reject others who are not like we. This is very difficult story. I don't know. It's hard to tell about that, because in one hand it was easier before the internet. Because we had a lot of meetings, and that's why I became an activist, I guess. In Russia, for my time in Russia, I used to live 20 some years in St. Petersburg. And I started to be activist in Russian LGBT organizations. And this was a way to get in touch with the LGBT community without seeking for sex.
Yes.
And to have meaningful friendships and meaningful time together.
Yeah.
And in these activist groups, I felt always very good. And also at my work now, I'm working in the Berliner AIDS Hilfe, Berlin AIDS Help. We are an organization, most employees are gay or lesbian. So, and it's normal, and we hug each other, and we make ugly jokes. and this is good. This is for me the good side of the LGBT community.
Yeah.
So the easier side.
Yes. But you have a funny story about your grandma. And you started to talk about it, but I said please keep it for the interview, so let's get back to that story. What did your grandma tell
my
you?
Grandma, not my great-grandma.
Yes.
From my grandma, they had she was very practical.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a good side and a sad side. The sad side was, I told before, the sad side was that she wanted always the good for me. And she was very concerned about my Christianity and, hey, don't tell them. You know, my lessons in my life was to not to sing with the wolves, but to, in German it sounds, mit den Wölfen mitheulen. So, do like a wolf.
Yeah, do not howl with the wolves.
Yeah, yeah. And she was very practical. She wanted a good for me, but this was the sad side, but the good side was the practical side. I mean, she said to me always, so when you will marry, please marry woman in, okay, woman, it's for her. marry a woman in a wheelchair because she will say where to go and you will do it.
So you will be the muscles and she will be the eyes. Yeah. Very practical. Okay, so Lothar, today, yeah, how are you doing today? How is your life today? What do you hope for, maybe?
I'm working like a social, as a social worker in the Berliner Aidshilfe, so yeah, with people living with HIV, and now it is, they are not the middle class gay people, but mostly refugees, people who had no legal status, people who had no roof, so homeless people, I mean. And I feel I do this work, it's like a call, so it's difficult, sometimes really difficult, but on the other hand, it's meaningful. It's, I know why I do it. I told you about the space around. So for me, it's a good work when I can give this space for people. Sometimes it's hard to see that I cannot do so much sometimes for people. But even if I would to act something, how, yes, yeah, let's do this and that, it's also not helpful. Yeah. So we think it's helpful, but maybe not. But the space is really helpful. Yeah. It is, you know, I like very much Tolkien. Of course, every knows The Lord of the Rings. Not so many people have had written the books. The books are much better as the film.
Yeah, as most of the times.
Yes. And but there is another book, it's called Silmarillion. And in this book, Tolkien had his fantasies about creating the world. And there's a story that the Valar, so like, could say angels, stand before the throne of Ilúvatar. Ilúvatar is like God, maybe. And Ilúvatar always gave a topic to sing, and then they sang together. And there was one such Valar, he didn't like to sing like all, and he made his own melodies, and they didn't match in the other melodies, and then they stopped and started again, and some sang with him, and others sang with Ilúvatar, and so on. And then Ilúvatar opened the eyes for the Valar, and they saw the world, beautiful, and always something don't match. And the idea to sing, so singing, this is creating, sometimes literally. So if I sing, I'm creating, or if I play my flute, then it's a creating process. But I understand myself like to live. It's like to fit in the melody around you around yourself. So if I can listen to the melodies surrounding me, and to find my melody, my part in it, then I live good. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing in 5 years, so but now it's for me important to be such sound.
Thank you so much for taking your time, for talking to me. I know it was also not easy because you had to talk in English, and the first reaction was, oh shit. So thank you for doing it anyway, not giving up. Thank you for your vulnerability, your stories, and everything that you shared with us so openly. I found it really inspiring. So thank you for being my guest.
Dankeschön.
Thank you, dear viewers and listeners, for being with us. As I said in the beginning, this podcast was made in partnership with the European Forum of LGBT Christian Groups. We are right now at the conference of the LGBT Forum. See you next time. Don't forget to check out, I will put the link of the Berliner AIDS Hilfe in the podcast description, and if anything else comes up, I will put it down there, and there you can also find a way how to support this podcast. So see you next time. Bye everyone. Bye Lothar.